if you heard this before, just kind of just act like you haven't, you know, and then we'll get into the message and all that stuff. So, but we're at the Inslee family. They're all right there. Well, most of them are all right there. I guess the two youngest are somewhere that way. And we praise the Lord for that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we'll be at. I tell you this, if you listen fast, I preach fast. And if we go long, it's your fault because you didn't listen fast enough, you know. And so anyway, that's not original with me. It's not even funny, you know. But four truths I want to share with you, four truths that we've learned serving the Lord in missions. Four truths that we've learned serving the Lord in missions, and Lord willing, God being our helper, is going to take out of these two verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And then verse 25 says, "Brethren, pray for us." And let's pray, and then we'll share our ministry, then we're getting the message, and then we'll probably eat some chicken or something. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the great reports today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those that were saved. And Father, I pray, Lord, that that new life would just be real to them. And that it wouldn't just be a profession, but Father, that it was true and it was real. And it's all, and their life has changed now for eternity. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, just be with all these other things that's been mentioned. Father, be with this the first priority there, Father, and the need that's that one person is fighting against. Father, I know you're well able to remove and to replace. And Father, we pray that your perfect will be done. Speak to our hearts today. Father, I pray, Lord, draw us a little bit closer to you. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And but I'm excited, man. I'm just getting kind of stirred up about all that, so I'm kind of getting myself tied back down, so to speak. But well, those that don't know me, I'm from Southeast Virginia. If you know that part, it's Chesapeake is where I grew up, but not in town. That's town folks that are in town, and I came to know Christ when I was 12 years old, and so I've been saved now for 5 years. And I'm just seeing if you're listening. But my wife grew up in Northeast Georgia, and she was saved at the age of 5. March 14th, 1999 was the year I got called to preach. My life changed when I got saved, but it changed again when the Lord called me to preach. And would you believe I was 18, and I was almost 25 years ago. Now you're trying to figure out how old I am. 42. As they say, I'll be 43 on my birthday. Why do we say that? You know, we always do that, you know. But anyhow, so I've been serving the Lord now for 25 years as a preacher, and my wife and I graduated from Atlantic Baptist Bible College up in Chester, Virginia, where I served at the Faith Baptist, which is our currently our sending church in Colonial Heights, Virginia. We were married in 2003. That's 20 years ago, man. Praise the Lord for her, man. That's like a medal of honor, Purple Heart. Congrats, you know, all that, you know, I mean, all of those, you know, 20 years with me, and praise the Lord for that. And we first went west in 2005. In 2005, we hooked up, we jumped in our 93 Chevy pickup, had over 300,000 miles on it, and we had a 12-foot U-Haul, 6x12. Everything we had was in the truck or the trailer. Those days are long gone, you know, of putting that stuff in that little bit of area. And we hooked up from Georgia and went to Wyoming. And in Wyoming is where I became the missionary pastor of Prairie View Baptist Church. And we're there for about 3.5 years. We got 100% to be their pastor. That sounds good, but really what that means is just four people voted yes. Four people said, yes, come on, yeah, please help us, you know. And we praise the Lord for all that. And so we were there for about 3.5 years. While we were there, Jacob and Tyra were both born. I want to share some things because what happened there affects what we're doing now. So Moorcroft was Prairie View Baptist Church. I didn't start it. I was the missionary pastor. Moorcroft's population was 300 people. Nope, back up. 800 people. 800 people there, and we saw people get saved. We saw high attendance, I think like 55, and we were there for about 3.5 years as I shared that. And but what happened there, that for us personally, not just people get saved, but it was there where the Lord began to plant the seed of what we're doing now. And I'm thankful for that. As a preacher, what are you doing now? It was there where God began to give us the burden, the desire, the ministry of reaching and planting churches in rural America. Folks, there's most church planters, they go to the big cities, and we need people to go to the big cities because everybody's not cut out for to go to Charlotte. You know, I read somewhere there's 120 different languages spoken in Charlotte, North Carolina. Folks, we need to reach the big cities, but yet we need to reach the rural areas of America as well. And so that's where God gave us this ministry in inception, if you will. We went on deputation, and because you know some of this already, and we on deputation for those couple years, and that's where my wife had those surgeries and brain surgeries there. I think the longest was 5 weeks, I think, was in the hospital there up in Richmond. And I'm thankful that the Lord allowed us to go through those deep waters, because we didn't go through it alone. We are better people for God allowing us to go through those trials and struggles, and God showed himself faithful and strong and true through all of that. And while we were on deputation, Charity was born. She's with us, because they're all with us. So fast forward a little bit. In January 2013, Lord allowed us to plant the Blessed Hope Baptist Church of Burns, Wyoming. Burns, Wyoming is 300 people. And now it's up to 350 now because, you know, anyhow, because more people are moving in. Pray for them, man. I think busting at the seams, you know, 350 people. I don't know what the world's going on. But and so doing, we were there. We leased a building multiple times. Our sixth church anniversary was our building dedication service. We bought a building in a little town called Hillsdale of about 40, 45 people, I think. And we before COVID, I guess y'all had COVID around here, I guess, maybe, you know, and not to make light of any of that. And I personally had us in a hospital, and I know a lot of people went to heaven through that vehicle. You know what? But heaven's a real place, amen, you know. And so before COVID, we had about 50 people in our service, you know, average Sunday morning in a town of 40, 45, you know. So God was doing something there. And our last Sunday there, just this past January, January the 8th, was our last Sunday there. That was our 10th church anniversary, and was also our pastoral transition, pastoral ordination. It was just make sure, you know, all those things were covered. And in so doing, we had almost 80 people in attendance that last Sunday there. I kidded with them. I said, y'all just want to make sure I was leaving. That's really what you wanted to do, you know. But anyway, during our 10 years there, Hannah and Sammy were born, and praise the Lord for that. And the coolest thing about Blessed Hope is 4 of our 5 children came to know Christ through the ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so, preacher, you're missing one. Well, back in April, Jacob trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And in Vicksburg, can anything come out of good out of Mississippi? You know, but in Vicksburg, Mississippi, Jacob trusted Christ. And back in March, Tyler was called to preach. And so we praise the Lord for all that. So what are we doing now, preacher? Catching my breath right now. But going forward, God has called us to plant the Blessed Hope Baptist Church of Bracy, Virginia. Anybody ever heard of Bracy, Virginia? Okay, Lake Gaston, I'm sure you've heard of that. And I think most of Lake Gaston may be in North Carolina, maybe. But I'm not real for sure about that. But Bracy, Virginia is a town of about 1,200 people. There's Baptist churches north of the town, south of the town, east of the town, west of the town. But there's not a Baptist church in the town. And so the Lord's called my family and I to plant the Blessed Hope Baptist Church of January the 28th, just 80 some days away. It'll be our first service there, and we're looking forward to do all that. You know, 1,200 people. There's 3,000 people in the zip code. Microsoft is actively putting 2 data centers right there in that county, right there in that area, within minutes from Bracy, and I just learned that they're trying to build another one. And or buy more land. God's given us already a meeting place, Bracy Community Center. What a cool story. God has definitely gone before us. But 100 years ago, Bracy Community Center used to be Bracy Baptist Church. Think about that. 1920s, a tornado came through and just demolished the building of Bracy Baptist Church, and they decided to disband. And so for 30 plus years or so, there was no building there. And in the mid 50s, they rebuilt that building and made it a community center. Guess how they rebuilt it? They rebuilt it on the previous floor plans of Bracy Baptist Church. So as I walk in there, I said, did this used to be a church? And then she told me that story. I said, man, it's cool. You know, and they're leasing it to us for $50 a Sunday. And so we praise the Lord for that. And God's given us great inroads, even already, of people just jumping in and helping us. And God's led us to lease an office area for the church office. And God has definitely gone before us, and people just preaching, we're ready. We're waiting for you to get here, you know. And so that's exciting to me. And folks, we need to reach the rural America. We need to reach these country folks, these small country towns with the gospel of Christ. And I tell you, it's in my, I guess it's my calling, I guess, you know, if I can say it that way. Pray with us as we continue to travel and pray these three things, and then we'll get in the message. Pray that, number one, pray that the Lord will prepare those people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most people do not trust Christ the first time they hear it. So pray that God will prepare them for the gospel of Christ. Number two, pray that our Lord will prepare them for us. Clearly, there must be a preparation value, because I'm hearing some things this morning. You know, he's your brother. He's kind of weird or different, you know. But pray that God will prepare them for the gospel. Pray that they will prepare them for us, and then God will prepare us for them. And I've already seen signs of him doing just that. So with all that being said, I just capped off 20 plus years of what we've been doing in a matter of just a handful of minutes. As we've shared with you about what our Lord has allowed us to do and see and experience of what he is calling us to do, as with you, as with all of us, we live and learn, right? We have trials, we have errors. Sometimes we do that ourselves. Sometimes it's just some kind of part of life. But as with you, the very God of heaven has never left us nor forsook us. I'm thankful for that. That we could have went to Northeast Wyoming and did that. We could have went to Southeastern Wyoming and did that. Now we're heading to South Central Virginia to do those things. Why? Because God's with us. God's not going to forsake us. God is faithful faithful and true. And can I give you four things, just real quick? And I know what the time is, we'll see if we can get it all done in record time. Four things that my family and I have learned that helped us, and I think it'll help you as you and I serve the Lord together. And again, I apologize in advance. Your pastor will be back tonight, he can complain to him all the things that you heard today, you know, I'm just going to blame Brother Tim, you know. But number one, the very first thing I've learned here in this verse, hopefully by now you found it. If you haven't found it by now, just stop looking, because you've had plenty of time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us." Very first thing that we've learned in our missions work is right here in the first part of the verse, that faithful is he. The very first thing we see is that we have learned that God is always faithful. Period. God is always faithful. Everything we face, everything we do, God is always faithful. There's not a day where he's not faithful. There's not a day where he's half faithful. There's not a day where he's more faithful than he was. He is always consistently faithful. And three things under that real quick. He's faithful to his word. W-O-R-D. He's faithful to his word. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but I shall accomplish that which I please, and I shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Why? Because it is the word of God. The word of God has the power of God on it. We don't need anything new. We just need to take a new look at the book, you know. We don't need this fad or that fad. We just need to get back to old-fashioned Bible preaching, because the Word of God is enough. The Word of God is always enough. We don't need more or less. We just need the Word. We need to preach the Word instant in season and out of season. He's faithful to it. He's faithful to His Word. His Word is enough. Now, there's different vehicles that we can use to take the Word out, but the Word's enough. Not only is he faithful to his word, but he's faithful to his work. He's faithful to the church. He's faithful to the work of God. He has done all things well, Mark 7 tells us. Matthew 16, 18 says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's faithful to his work. And I like this one. This is for us this morning. He is faithful to his worker. That's us. That's you and me. Faithful to his worker. Preacher, how do you know that? Well, Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I believe that's found in other passages of Scripture. You know, I don't even have to ask you this morning if God's been faithful to you. I know God. I know His character. I know what the Bible teaches about Him. God has been faithful to us today and yesterday, and will be tomorrow. Because that's just who he is. He's faithful to his worker. Even when times are tough, times of uncertainty, times are great. Can I tell you, God is faithful. You ever had those tough times? You ever had those times where everything seems to, you know, be sideways on you? I tell you, God's not been sideways on you. God is faithful. God is always faithful. I believe there's a song on that, isn't it? About God's faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. Let's move on. Faithful is he that calleth you. And I tell you, we serve a personal God that's faithful to us personally. But number two, that same faithful God has called us to work for him, has called us to his work. It says, faithful is he that what? That calleth you. That calleth you. You know, I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. And you probably figured that out already. I figured that out already. I didn't come from the right family. I didn't go to the right schools, and I didn't get the right education. I didn't have this. I come to the conclusion that for many people's molds, I don't fit. And I've come to find out I really don't care, because I've seen what came out of that mold. And molds are moldy. Anyway, but I did find out. Listen to me now. He called me. I might not have fit in their school. I did the Bible college. I got everything I need there, you know, but I might not have checked that box and that box and that box. But I tell you, here it says, that calleth you. And folks, that's the only box that we need checked. God's called you. God's called me to serve him. You know, you might not be whatever. You ever had conversation with the devil? You have. You just might not realize it. Well, you're not good enough. Or you're not squared away enough. Well, you're not this, or you're too hairy. Do you believe that? Some of you say, "I'm too hairy to serve the Lord," you know. And I was recently asked, "Hey, preacher, have you come here, would you shave your beard?" In a word, no. I said, Jesus had a beard. It was the religious crowd that pulled his out too. You know, anyhow, let that sink through, you know. But you know what? you're not to this or to that. You might not have what it takes. If we was real about it, none of us have what it takes. But God's called you, God's called me to serve Him. Why? Because He's faithful. He's called us to serve Him. The devil will tell you, but let me tell you, God has calling for you. I don't care what the devil's telling you. The devil's a loser. And he's fighting a losing battle. And the closer we get, every day we get, we're getting closer to that battle of him losing royally. And our King of Kings and Lord of Glory is him. He shall come in, you know. And I tell you, let's serve the King, the one that has won and the one that is winning, because he's the only one that matters. And he's the one that says, hey, he's faithful. And he's the one that says, hey, I got a calling for you to do. I got something for you to do. Then the third point here. Faithful is he that calleth you. I like this. I prayed this during school, taking examinations. Who also will do it? Lord, please help us to recall the things that I studied. Lord, help give me the gift of knowledge for the things I did not study. You know, make these guesses good ones. You know, y'all never prayed that, I'm sure. But remember that God, that faithful God, is calling us to serve Him. Let me ask you, will you serve Him? It's not about you, nor is it about me. It's about Him. And folks, as you know this already, He is worthy for us to be all in. He is worthy for us to give everything we got. Sometimes we're ankle deep. Sometimes we're waist deep. Sometimes, folks, just jump in. Well, let me get my clothes. Just jump in serving Jesus. He is worth it all. He is worthy to be all in. The third thing we've learned over the way is the third point, who also will do it. God's going to do His work. It's not about my abilities, not about your abilities, not about my background, my training. I'm all for training. I'm all for education. I get all that. Believe me, I get that. Who also will do it? That's what it's about. Yep. So tell me, how many people, seven people trusted Christ? Seven, praise the Lord. You know, 17 people trusted Christ. You know, y'all presented the gospel. But God did the saving. Amen. Who also will do it? You know, let people reject them. Hear me now. Hear me. But so many times, people don't even get the option to reject the gospel because we ain't telling it. He's faithful. He's called us all to serve Him. And then he said, think who also will do it. He wants to use us. He wants to get us into a place where it's all about Him. I tell you, I was not leading the pack when God says, all right, let's pack up from Wyoming. Have you been to Wyoming and live and go to Virginia? Have you been to Virginia? You know, but I tell you, now we just can't wait. We're just all in. We're excited about what's next for us. Folks, we bring nothing to the table. We're just earthen vessels. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, is required in stewards, that's us, that man be found faithful. Faithful. The fourth thing we've learned, and as a preacher, you've been in the ministry for 25 years and you only learned four things. I'm often late to the party, but I usually show up. But the fourth thing, at verse 25, brethren, pray for us. We have learned, as you have, that you and I, we need God's people praying for us. And you need people praying for you. God is faithful. God is calling you to serve God. God don't save people just so they can sit and do nothing. We're saved to serve, and since He is the only one that can save, He is the only one that we serve. God is faithful. God is calling us. God wants to do something in our life so we can be used to do something in someone else's life. But we've learned, verse 25, we need people praying for us. Think about this. The great Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica. Thessalonica Baptist Church. And we could put Paul up there with, man, the cream of the crop, wouldn't we? Preacher of preachers, if you will. And as he's closing this chapter out, this book out of 1 Thessalonians, he says, all the things we talked about, he says, folks, pray for us. Pray for us. So Paul, you got it squared away. He said, well, did you read 1 Corinthians 7? You know, the things I want to do, the things I don't want to do, that's the things they end up doing. You know, can you identify with that? Folks, we need to pray one for another. We need to pray for your pastor. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for us as we go forward for the cause of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. He is faithful. He is faithful. And we can learn and lean on His faithfulness and live in His faithfulness. Faithful is He that calleth you. Can I tell you something? You might not in your mind think, I'm not this or I'm not that. I'm not good enough to serve the Lord. I can't do this. Believe me, I've been there. But I'm telling you, if you know Jesus this morning as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God has something for you to do. That's bottom line. Preacher, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Well, we can get that fixed too. Amen. You know Him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Bless this time together as we close out. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.